Father, we just want to thank you, Father God, for this time, Lord. I dedicate my mind, my heart, my voice box, and my lips and my tongue to you, Lord. That every word that I speak, Father, shall come only from you. Nothing shall come from my flesh. I thank you, Lord, every word that comes, Lord, is your word, Father. Let every word of Father God be a word, Lord, which will be strong and a fertile seed, which will go to us, to the ground, Lord, which is fertile too, Father. And everyone who hears it, Lord, they will have a fertile heart today and receive it, Father, and receive, Lord, the word that you want to give. And I pray, Father, you want to build people and bring saints to your kingdom, Lord, that the saints, Lord, will walk and their life will become better. And I pray, Father God, and grow closer, and their light will shine to the earth, and they will, Lord, will bring more and more people to your kingdom, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now, many of us have been speaking a lot of things in times, the series of message I completed some time back. But we also had these teachings on spiritual warfare and also deliverance. We have not completed it because we will continue with it after the 2 weeks from now. And I pray God will give us wisdom in the things that we do daily. Amen. We turn to Daniel chapter 7, verse 13 to 14. It says like this: I was in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven, and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him, and there was given him dominion and glory, a kingdom that all his people, nations, and languages should serve him, with dominion in his everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom which shall not be destroyed. And the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominion shall serve and obey him. Amen. Daniel chapter 7, verse 13 to 14 and 27. Daniel's prophecy was about, he was seeing the things that he saw in a vision and spoke to the kingdom at that time. Daniel was speaking at a time when the Christians were going through, when the Israelites were going through trouble at the time. And I pray today that we will understand something out of this kingdom. God was speaking to the people at a time through Daniel about the kingdom. What kingdom is this today he's talking about? What is this kingdom he's talking about? He talked about the kingdom, and he talked even in Mark chapter 4 verse 17 and Matthew chapter 4 verse 17 and Mark chapter 1 verse 15. He talked about this kingdom. Repent, for the kingdom of God is here. And he said the kingdom of heaven is at hand. We must know what kingdom is he talking about. He says the kingdom is now here. He didn't say the kingdom is going to come, but the kingdom is here now, he said. Jesus, every word Jesus spoke was very sharp, and he meant to the point that what he is going to say and deliver to his people. So that the children, the saints, will become saints, and they walk together with him, and they will honor him and glorify him. Jesus chose 12 people, 12 men. And what did he do? He spoke the word, and he spoke the kingdom, and he gave them responsibility in the kingdom and sent them out. What did he ask them to do? Go, he said, preach the kingdom of God. He didn't say preach the word of God. Preach the kingdom of God. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, and cast out evil. Amen. And when he said to the 72 people, that he told them, the disciples, in Luke chapter 10, he appointed them, 72 of them, go forth, two by two, and preach the gospel to every one of them. And cast out the demons. Why did Jesus do all this? His kingdom is supposed to be what? Casting out demons only? No. His kingdom is to bring the hearts of man to nearer to God. His kingdom is different from the kingdom of the earth. And Daniel himself, he speaks about a kingdom also of the man, which I'll talk about later. The kingdom of God is talking about people's heart and spirit must be drawn back to God where it's supposed to be, which was separated before. As he speaks about this, but the death that Jesus has to do, it says he has to die for us and bring this kingdom for us. He has to die first. He has to suffer for us first so that the kingdom is at hand. Before Christ, the law was the most important thing. Before Christ, we were condemned by the law. Before Christ, until John the Baptist, we were condemned by the law. The law, there was no escape from the law. You have done it, there is no escape from it. You go back and see Leviticus. He has got everything that if you have done this, you have to do this love offering. You have done this, this sin offering, this repent offering. Everything was mentioned in the Leviticus. But after John the Baptist, when Jesus came, it's different. There is forgiveness. Amen? What kingdom is he talking about? When the kingdom comes, we must grab it first. When the kingdom comes, we must grab it first. In a time when Jesus talked to every one of them, people, it talks about multitude pressing towards him. In the gospel, you'll find Matthew chapter 11, 12, verse 12. It says that Jesus, the kingdom of heaven, suffers violence. The violent takes it by force. What is the word violent? The violent does not refer to natural violence, fighting with sword, or fighting with hands, or fighting with all the latest technology. But this violent is something is different from that. He is talking about the kingdom that people are who are seeing as Jesus was coming. They were pushing him to the end as they were hungry, as they were listening, and they were taking it. The kingdom of God is here. I receive it. Many of us have received the Lord. Amen. All of us have received the Lord here. Amen. So we have received it because we saw if we don't grab it. When you talk about seizing, you know, seize the kingdom. When you seize the kingdom, how do you seize the kingdom? What is seizing means? The police comes and catches her and seizes her. Is that right? The policeman catches you and goes off. Same way, when we see the kingdom opportunity, the kingdom that word of God comes to us, we seize it. We seize it because out of desperation. We seize it out of desperation. That is why the word violent and seize was used by the Lord. Violent is not because you're whizzing. You're rushing. I remember when you go for a football game, a soccer game in Malaysia, in Philippines is the basketball. They will rush to get the ticket. They don't want to be left out without a ticket. I think I mentioned in our church, when I was young, I would take off my shirt. I would go underneath people to go and get my ticket. And people will scold me. Doesn't matter, because I was rushing to get my soccer ticket. Then after that, come out with all those things, sweat, and then wear it back. That was violence. That's really violence. In other words, I wanted to fulfill the desire that I had at the time. The desire to enter into this gate and see that soccer game. Many of us do it till today. If you see an opening somewhere, people queue up. And they say one line, they'll make two lines, three lines, four lines. Just to get the tickets. This violent is seizing it violently out of desire, desperation. So we are desperate of the kingdom. Why are we desperate? Why were the people at the time desperate? They were desperate because they were lost in the world, the kingdom of man. They were lost in the kingdom of man. But when we received the word of God, when they received, multitudes received the word of God, and they received by violence. You know, many times you see, Jesus talks about in Gennesaret, he'll talk about, he was sitting, standing, looking at the thing. The crowd was pressing onto him, and he went into the boat. He looked at the boat, and he saw Peter's boat there. He said to him, can you push further up? We'll go further up. And from there he spoke. Why did he speak from there? Because the people were rushing towards him. They were rushing towards him. The kingdom of God is at hand. And we must receive it immediately. If we don't seize it, we pass by it. We pass by it. He talks about people who are poor at that time. The poor and the sick, those rejected were the people who wanted. The people who followed him, most of them, were poor people. Why is it poor? He didn't say that the rich cannot come. The rich were contented with their life. The rich had their own way of going to see medical, whatever it is they seek, they got somewhere to rest. They were contented. Look at the word and they see the word. They see Jesus Christ. You'll see them saying, who is this man talking? Well, he sounds a little bit logical, but utterly he's wrong. Our kingdom is coming. God is coming in the heavenlies. We believe that. God is going to come in the clouds. And he's going to come. And this Messiah is going to come and deliver us out of this Roman Empire. That is the kingdom they're looking for. A physical kingdom where a king will reside in Malaysia or in any part of Israel. And they said, okay, this is the king and we'll follow him. But his kingdom is different. He was looking for people who want to be liberated. Amen. Liberated. liberated from the condemnation of the world, liberated from the things that the world has put cast upon them. When they are poor, they are desperate. When they are poor, they are desperate. Poor in spirit, poor in emotion, physical, in substance, they are poor. When they are poor in substance, they can't go to medical problem, a medical treatment. They are poor in substance, they can't get what they wanted at the time. They were pushing and pushing for this Messiah who was standing right in front of them, and they received the kingdom. The moment they received him as their Messiah, immediately the kingdom of God was hand at their heart. Amen. The moment we say, Jesus, come, the kingdom of God is at hand, it's here, it's in our heart. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. When is it going to come? If we're going to wait for the time to come, then we'll have a problem. We don't see the kingdom is already here today. Amen? Are we operating in the kingdom? We don't operate in the kingdom because we don't grasp the kingdom desperately. We take it for easy nowadays. We take it easy. We take it for granted. Oh, I'm a Christian. Well and good. I am well because I'm a Christian. Well and good. But do you appreciate what he has done for us? Do you really appreciate and seize that opportunity and walk in his power? Are we walking in his power? Many Christians do not. Many Christians fail because of that. We don't walk in his power. The people who are sick, demonized, the lepers, the unwanted, everybody rushed to him. We can name many of them in the gospel. If you go back and see the gospel, the four gospels, there are lepers who came to see him, blind came to see him, the deaf came to see him, demon possessed came to see him, woman with an issue of blood came to see him, adulterer woman who was caught in the act was brought to him. All people who were there, they knew that this man do not condemn just like any others. The Pharisees, the scribes, even the world condemns, but he came to liberate and give them comfort. Amen? That was not seizing. That's why they seized. When we are left alone, sometimes when you find that you are really desperate in your situation, our life situation daily, we are desperate in some things. We are left alone. We have no other help. Everybody else condemns you. Everybody says you are wrong. Everybody says you are unworthy. Everybody says the wrong word about you. Everybody says, why were you born in this world? Even parents say to the children, why were you born into this world? I don't know why I became your father and mother. There are parents. I counsel children. They're condemned. But this Jesus came to relieve them. He came to relieve them. He said, the world can condemn you. I will not condemn you. He showed it by one important ways. A woman supposed to be stoned to death by the Pharisees when she was caught in the adultery act. We always don't know why. What happened to the man? The man was missing. I don't know how he ran, with the clothing or without the clothing, I don't know. They didn't couldn't catch him. But they caught the woman in the act. They condemned the woman. Jesus only one said, he only had one word to say. Have anyone thrown a stone to you? None. So will I not. Do not sin again. Do not sin again. That's a comforting word, is that right? When somebody condemns you, somebody puts you out, and says you are worthless, nothing, good for nothing. And suddenly somebody else come and say, look, don't worry about anybody else. I don't condemn you. I love you. I hug you. I kiss you today. Isn't that beautiful? How many of you want that? How many of you want that? Put your hands up straight. How many want that hug? How many want that love? That's only provided by Jesus Christ. That is why he was a center of attraction. He was a center of attraction, and crowds were there because they needed this man to give that blessings to him, to release that anointing of love to every one of them. Not of condemnation, but of salvation. Amen? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So when you receive this kingdom, as it comes by, we are not condemned, but we are receiving it. We grasp it. We violently go out. We say violently, we don't fight with another person. We rush out violently and get it out so that we want the kingdom of God to be in our heart and not outside there. Amen. When the kingdom of heart is here, the kingdom is in our heart. What happens? I remember when you're young, you know, in the kindergartens or even the nurseries, they teach you, where is the kingdom of God is? In my heart. I don't know how to sing, but it's in my heart. You teach the children very nicely, but go outside, turn around and say, oh, why was I born today? See, everything is out wrong. But the children very nicely in front of you, hey, the kingdom of God, in my heart, in your heart. But you turn around and decide, why this child was causing me so much a problem today. How negative, what kind of mind we have. A double-mindedness. A mind of split. A heart of split. So we can behave 2 persons in one body. Some can behave 4 persons in one body. One for the church, one for the society, one for the family, one for their friends. So we have a heart which the kingdom of God has really not settled in our heart. When the kingdom of God is really not settled in our heart, as Jesus said, the kingdom of God is here. Repent and you come, and the kingdom of God is here. When you repent and you come before Him and everything else is done, the repentance has taken away the past and now the new thing comes into your heart. Amen. A new kingdom has come into the heart. A kingdom filled with the Spirit of God. Amen. A new kingdom. We don't seize it. Unless we seize it, then we'll find sickness flees away. We still walk, many Christians walk in the mind that I still have to believe in something that the world is saying. I still have to hear the voices, the sound of the things that comes behind my voices when I sleep, when I walk, when I'm sitting down trying to meditate. No, the word which comes is of the condemnation of that person who spoke against me. That's not right. Then we don't have the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God talks about otherwise. The kingdom of God is to talk, to say, God is inside me and He's redeemed me. I'm out of all these problems. Amen? Hello, why is the silence? I know all of you are not like that. Okay, you all are good people. Is that right? Amen? See, nobody says amen to that. So you're still doubtful about yourself. If you're doubtful, you'll pray for you afterwards. Alright? Let's not be doubtful. All of us say amen, amen to that. Praise God. So the kingdom of God is here and we are seizing it violently because we want it, we desire it, we need it. We know it so much that we will go out. And as much as you violently go out there, as much as you go out there and seize the kingdom of God and the love of Christ comes into your heart, do not worry about anybody else. Everybody will receive their portion, but you go out desperately. Nobody will be left out with any portion. Everybody will receive the portion of the kingdom of God as per your desires. Amen? As per what? As per your desires. How much is your desire? That's much your kingdom of God shall settle down your heart. How much do you see Jesus Christ? That's much the kingdom of God will settle down. Who is Christ in you? That's much will come into your heart. If you find the kingdom of God, the God, Jesus Christ says, He says He's the kingdom of God. He's the king of the kingdom. And we look at Him as a king who can solve all your problems, everything is gone. If you still have the doubt that a king cannot solve your problem, then we are in problem. We continuously have the problem because you have doubt of the king. When you take Jesus Christ, the king of the kingdom that we are in now, then we should know and know and know for sure a king can do everything. Amen? If the worldly king can do a lot of things, he can do mightier things. Right? He can release blessings to you. He can give you a plot of land. He can give you a house. He can give you everything. But this king can give you peace in your heart and peace in your mind. Above all the kings that keeps you in the heart. You can sleep well knowing that the sound, the echo of those curses will not come back to you and me. Amen? So the kingdom of God has to be seized. Got to be seized. If you don't seize it, we tend to bypass it. Amen? The kingdom of God is greater than the kingdom of man. in the book of Daniel, you also find that Daniel describes the kingdom of man as that of a beast. The kingdom of God is that like a beast. The nature of man is likened to be a beast of beasts. The nature of man is always like a beast. We behave the way that we want to behave. We behave in anger. We behave in different kind of attitudes in our life and different kind of emotions in our life. So it's different, far different away from the kingdom of God. Kingdom of man is different. That is why the man, which is wage 666, which is mentioned in Revelation, is already seen by Daniel itself. Daniel saw it many, many years, even before Revelation came. He said the kingdom of God, of man, is different, entirely different. It's the opposite of the kingdom of God. Man operate in the manly things. So we have fear as we have a man inside us, and we will operate in the fleshly ways, and we'll have fear, we'll have doubts, we'll have unforgiveness, we'll have so many things in our heart. So much so, we can be delivered. We cannot be operating in the kingdom of God. We can receive the kingdom of God, but we don't operate in the kingdom of God because we still live in the man's world. We still operate in the kingdom of man. Kingdom of man is dead from the day we receive the kingdom of God. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Is it dead in you? It's dead in me. The longer I keep myself with the Lord, the longer I walk with the Lord, the more it's been disappearing. The flesh. Amen? Am I talking something different from what you know of? Am I speaking a foreign language? The kingdom of God is different from the kingdom of man. The beast always want to dominate. The beast always want to be abusive. The beast always want to have the cruel mentality, will be cruel with people. That is the kingdom of man. We want to be cruel with people. Many times you see somebody, you know, I told you all, some of our church members would have heard this. Please excuse me for that. You know, sometimes I went with a group of them. They looked at a car passing by, beautiful car. I had all these pastors inside my car and all of godly men and women of God. They were sitting in my car and I was driving them around. And suddenly this beautiful car passed by and they looked at the car. Of course, I was driving the church van. As you're driving the church van, they all said, "Wow, look at that. That's my car. What is it doing on the road? You should go back to my house. I command you now, this car, Mercedes-Benz, whatever brand it was, I command you now to go back to my house. Park yourself there." Grabe. That's really a wow. Is that how the kingdom of God operates? Is that only Mercedes-Benz around? Is that only car around? We worked in cruelty. The moment they said that, I turned around, "Lord, is this a prayer from you or from the flesh?" We should not desire, because the word of God says, "Thou shalt not desire the property of another man or a woman." Bless them for they have. God, they can handle that Mercedes-Benz. Probably I could not handle it now. I know the time will come, you'll give it to me when I can handle the Mercedes-Benz. Thank you, Lord. The Lord is sometimes slow in giving to us because they know our capacity. If tomorrow God gives you 20 million ringgit or dollars, US dollars, what would you do with the dollars? You'll start thinking what to do now. There are people waiting for the $20 million they can put into operation business, and the business can operate, and the operation can give many people rice bowl. They have food on the table. But you and I will be sitting on, "What do I do with 20 million now? I go shopping. I buy this. Oh, remember that day I wanted this best." See, man's way of thinking is different from God's way of thinking. God gives. God, you know what? That man there, you know, he's a cruel man. He doesn't even know you. How come you give him money so much? Multiplication after multiplication. Can you just see how many of them is working for them? How many Christians are working for them? Hello? Many of us do not know how to handle the kingdom money. That's why God doesn't want to give the money yet. Many of us don't know how to handle the kingdom money. Serious. It's truth. I was one of those idiots. I did not know how to handle kingdom money. I had all the money in front of me. But I blew it up. And God says, he hit me at the back and says, "This is not good for you. Come out and do something else." I could not handle kingdom money. It's God's money. So God knows how to handle you. God knows the time to handle. So we operate different ways. If we have this kind of operation, we are still in the flesh. We are the kingdom of man. Where kingdom of man needs position. Kingdom of man needs recognition. Kingdom of man has to be, no, this man is higher than me, and that man is higher than me, or this woman is greater than me, that woman has got a greater intelligence, they have gone to the Oxford, and this person has gone to not where, anywhere. That's the kingdom of man. But in the kingdom of God, all are the same. Even if you are a pastor, you are a bishop, and Jesus will call you James. He will not call you Pastor James, or highly anointed man, whatever it is, or bishop, highly anointed man. No. Anointing still comes from him. Hello? So today, when we look at ourselves, are we operating in the kingdom of God? We have received the seeds that incur. I know all of you seized, okay? I'm not saying none of you came there. Oh, I want to accept Jesus Christ. Oh, yawn and then say, yes, Lord, I want to accept you. Oh, yawn. No, you were excited when you received the Lord of Jesus Christ. Every one of us were excited, aren't we? Have we received the Lord of... How excited were you to receive the Lord? Were you excited? That experience you had the first time, the first love of Christ in your heart? When you received Him, how it was? Praise the Lord. Bless you. That's how it was. And how do we operate now? We are now sour. Every time sour. I think you're meeting sour kana every now and every day. Remove tamarind from your menu. Remove all this which is sour from your menu, then we're all right, sweet again. The problem is we are operating, we receive God, and then after that, our mind goes back to the flesh. Do you know what's the problem with our Christians, all of us? That's the problem. That is why we don't see miracles, signs and wonders happening today. What were the apostles operating in? That same kingdom Jesus talked about in the gospel. The same kingdom Jesus talked about in the gospel. And that's why they were able to do signs and wonders and miracles. They were dancing. They were worshiping God. They believed God. They given wealth, their wealth to God. Because they have trusted God. They trusted God for the next day's meal. They trusted God for their future. They trusted God for their children. They trusted God for their daily gospel work. They trusted God that the people in the administration will be the right people. They trusted God in the schools teaching, the right people will be teaching the right things. Trusted God for the people who are in a bus, whatever they are doing. Everyone will be good people. They trusted God for that. But we trust a piece of paper which has got some dollar sign and some value in it. So that's why the kingdom of man works. Kingdom of man operates in the things that you can see, can touch, can feel. Kingdom of God is different. It's not easy when Jesus said, you know, about Matthew chapter 29, Matthew 19, he talked about this rich man. It's not easy for a rich man to go into the kingdom of God because he's contented with everything else. But this rich man who came, the young man who came, he was rich, but he's been walking rightly, but his heart was in the kingdom of the world, the mammon. But it is possible with God that we all can go together into the kingdom of heaven. A kingdom of God. We can operate. It's possible. If you only listen to what Jesus said. If only the rich man in chapter 19 of Matthew, when he heard that word, he said, yes, Lord, I will do it. Then he would have revealed that his heart is not tied up. The idol was not his money, but Jesus himself. So a person has got to let go. What has got to let go in life before he can operate in the kingdom of God? The kingdom of God is higher than whichever people can talk about. It's very much higher. No man can describe the kingdom of God when people who are operating in the kingdom of God can do wonders in the world. Amen? Amen? Do you want to operate in the kingdom of God? Do you want to seize that opportunity? How violently will you be seizing it today? To go back and see the first day when you received it, God, I wanted, because there was some forgiveness, there was some hatred, there was a lot of sins in your heart, and everything was forgiven on the day. And you received Jesus Christ on the day. But why are we operating in the kingdom of man? What is the hindrance? The kingdom of God is here and is here now. What is the hindrance for man from receiving it? What is the hindrance? Hindrance is their thoughts. Their thoughts. Because they don't want to be humble, first of all. To be in the kingdom of God, you have to have humility. You don't look for position. You don't look for might. You don't look for recognition. Kingdom of God needs humility. Humility is number one to operate. Many people fail in the kingdom of God is because, whether it's anybody from the pulpit to down to anybody for a matter, is because of pride and no humility at all. No humility at all. Because everything is self-interest. Self-interest. Amen? So we must operate not in the kingdom of Hollywood or Bollywood or the kingdom of whatever other wood you have in the world. I don't know what other wood you have. England, I don't know what Hollywood. Yeah, they don't have Hollywood, is that right? So we'll have all those woods here and we'll have kingdoms operating in that, because what we see is what we want to operate in. What we see, it touches our heart and we like to operate in that kind of operation. And all those production are all production from the world. Amen? The king of the worlds are the one who's doing all the production. So we operate in their operation. Now, first of all, why do men and women don't operate in that? Why do we do not do signs and wonders? Why are people still doing signs and wonders, but very little? They can't move on further. Because Jesus said, go, just do whatever you have to do. My kingdom is at hand. My kingdom is at hand. I tell you, I give you all authority. Go and do it. Why are still we not doing it? Why are people not operating in the kingdom of God yet? Number one, Christians sometimes open doors to a lot of things in our lives. I want to just talk about 4 open doors today. Right? Many open doors we have, but I want to talk about 4 open doors. I spoke in the deliverance and the prayer walk, prayer warrior. There you'll find details of what we discussed, more details. I'm just going to give you a little bit, because for a church to grow, we have to have, every one of you are a church. It's not this church, this building, like the sister just read. It's not the building. It's you are the church. You are the first church. Your family is the first church. If the family is not right and you are not right, you are the first temple. The second temple is your family. The third temple is the church. The fourth temple is the nation. So we have to have different temples. We have to operate in different temples, different church. It's not a building, right? So when we gather together today, we are a big church. As a body, we come before Christ. So first of all, why do we see this? Because we allow a lot of things to happen. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26-27, it says, we operate into the oppression, in the oppression of affliction, torments, because we allow external forces to come into our lives. We give foothold to strongholds. We give foothold. In other words, they come into your heart and they become stronghold in your heart. What are they? Number one, you will see occultic involvement in our lives. In Deuteronomy chapter 18, you will find that you are supposed to not bow down to anything. You must leave everything. You must not practice the things of the world. When they came into the place, they are not supposed to practice of the things of the world at the time. When God is only one God and no other God. These people gave their lives into occultic practices. In Acts chapter 19, verse 18-20, you can find that occultic practices. What does occultic practices mean? What is it operating till today? Are we part of these occultic practices? Some or other we are sometimes. Christians, we don't operate in the spiritual realm. We don't get the wisdom that we then give into all those things. I'll give you one example. You know about Freemasonry, right? There was a brother here from England sometimes back who came for ministering. His forefathers were operating in the Freemasonry. They were part of the Freemasonry. So the curse was flowed down everything else. He did not cut off the curse from his family. The operation of occultic practices was still there. The father and mother still operated. He's the only one who just came to know the Lord. But he still flowed into the spirit of the father and the mother. We allow occultic practices to be part of our families. The other occultic practice we do is we go into so many things that the world says. As far as the Indians are concerned, they have this solar system and all those things. They have got all the nine different things. They believe in that. Some Indian guys, you'll see them wearing stones up here, nine different stones, colorful. You might think that he's having a calculator up there. He's not a calculator anyway. It's precious stone. One of them is diamond and all those things. They believe in operating in these nine stones. And they believe that the stars of the moon are operating and they will be able to have different times in the season. They can get certain times, certain things in their life. That's occultic. Because you're bringing in the powers of darkness into your hands and you wear it and you start having it. Some of us feel that, you know, it's okay to have that. But you know what happens to them when they go through that? Mantras. It's an occultic practice. It's a stone, but it represents something which is of occult. I can go on many. For a Chinese, you have this feng shui. Christians till today believe that. They must operate the house differently. Only certain times have this. I've seen a building which I went to, a Christian's house, and it's feng shui there. They spend hundreds of thousands of ringgit just to put certain things into their grounds or whatever it is to move the house. These are all occultic practices. You allow these things to come into your life. Right? There are occultic practices. We go by culture. Culture also has got some occultic practices. We fall into it by trap. Right? We fall into it. We find, no, it's okay, it's culture. But you find out where this came from, then you'll understand. Like now, it's a trend sometimes. What is the trend? I've spoken this in detail. Many of my messages you'll find, it's in detail. About this tattooing, and also about this piercing of this, what do you call that? It's a word for it. Piercing of this tongue, and then putting up your nose, and you know those things where you put on the eyebrow. Where did it come from? It came from occultic practice from Taipusam in Batu Caves, and the director of the movie was here, and he saw this, he found it right, and the basketball player was the movie. I remember seeing that movie. He was the first one to introduce this into movies, and it became a fad all over the world. Go back and find out. I can't remember the name of that, you know. I don't know what's his name, no? He's a tall man, a basketballer, right? He was the first one. Go back, check the history. I'm right what I'm saying. He came here to Malaysia during the time of Taipusam. And the Batu Caves, they pierce themselves everywhere. And one of the things they do is pierce their tongue and they pierce through their even their cheek. Right? And they go into trance. That was the fad. And they pierce all over the body and they keep hooks. That became a fad. That's an occultic practice, brothers and sisters. I will tell you from my own son. He didn't want to believe me. I told him, if you wear this, if you do this, I assure you, your face will be defaced. A few months later, after having it done, whatever he did, his friends did, on somewhere here, tongue here, or the lips here, he had an accident. And he said, Papa, what you said is right. I'm telling you the truth. Because we are sucked into the world. You don't know why is it meant for. Including tattooing. You wouldn't know why you tattoo. Right? And I know church experience here. How many of them had the problem when they were prayed for that the tattoos manifested? In this church, there's witnesses. I won't mention names. Even outside, many of them have come here. Manifested. Why? It's because these are all occultic practices we indulge in because we find it's a fad. It's a fad. It's the in thing now. Brothers and sisters, cut it off. Operate in the kingdom world. And God will give you wisdom. And when you walk, you'll be able to see things. And God will tell you, you don't go here, you go here. You will do this, you'll do this. Even you go here, I'll give you authority to do things. You can go into the darkest area and still come out and bring the light of God into the darkest area. Because God will make us strong. Because we operate in the kingdom of God. Amen? So let's not go into things which is occulting. Number two, negative generational influences. Negative generational influences. Exodus chapter 20, verse 5 to 6 says that, you shall not bow down to anything other than me, he says. Right? Many of us do bow down to a lot of things in life. And our ancestors could have bowed down. Our ancestors could have had certain religion, which is you have to bow down. You have to do certain rituals in your life. You know, when those of you who went to Israel, you'll understand. When Jesus asked him, who do the people say? He asked Peter, the disciples. And Peter said that, some say this, some say that. And he turned around and asked Peter, who do you say I am? I always thought that place, Caesarea Philippi, was a good place. I always didn't think that the place was most occultic place, a most fornicating place, adulterous place, a place of worshipping all the high things of the world. And every image there in that rock there is not what is like. And in that place, Jesus asked him, and he said, who do you say I am? And the Holy Spirit revealed to Jesus, to Peter and said, you are the Son of God. You are the Son of God. In the darkest area, Jesus asked that. So you want to have recognition. Do not bow down to all these things. They do sacrifices. Baby sacrifices, women sacrifices, every one of them onto that place there. That's what they used to do when Jesus was walking on earth. Today, what our generation curses, what they were doing, could come into generations. Because the Lord says that during to Moses, he told them, I will visit for third and fourth generation if you're still of your father's sins. Amen? So today, we have to cut off all those things sometimes. We don't do that. If we come from different religion, just cut it off and say, Lord, I cut off, cancel all those things. I will pray for that after that. Okay? And the third one is personal sins. Many Christians come to the Lord, but we have secret sins in our life. People do not know. I could be having a secret sin. Only God knows. And I know. Every one of us will be exposed on the day of judgment. I will stand there and you will think, oh, this man was a holy man walking like this, like that. And Jesus stand there and I did all those miracles, Lord. I did this, Lord. I did that, Lord. And Jesus will turn around and tell me, I do not know you. If I was not open to the Lord on my sins. We've got habitual sins. We tend to always operate into the habitual sin. And every time we ask forgiveness, yes, the Lord forgives us. But we can't operate in the kingdom of God. We can't operate because, know why? That sin always is being up and up and up again and again and again and again. We can't operate because that hinders us from operating in the kingdom of God. We can't do sometimes miracles, signs and wonders because that becomes a bad thing. That is why every time we do pray for somebody, we say, Lord, forgive us for if I have done something wrong. And some of them get offended by that. Forgiving is asking God, so Lord, if there is anything that hinders me from approaching your throne room, that you are the king, I am there in your kingdom to serve you. Let me come before you with the precious blood of yours. There could be secret sins many of us still have. These sins are the one we have to abolish. We have to break down so that we can be operating in the kingdom of God. These are the hindrances that God, that we cannot operate. Many people cannot operate. Bear in mind, the demon also can operate miracles. Right? All the verses I can give it to you, but it's all in one of the teachings I give every time I'm giving the teachings. If Brother Brian can actually put it up, expose it out later, then they can get it, all the notes, the verses. You have to No, understand. These personal sins are things which brings us down, and you allow the devil to accuse you every time. Hey, see? You see? You have done this? You want to go and pray for somebody? Yeah. You remember not this morning when you said this? What came out from your mouth is not right, right? In front of God is not right. Now you go and try to pray for him. You think can happen a miracle? Do you think the man will receive that blessings? The evil one will start playing with your mind because he know the weaknesses of yours. We must come before God and ask God to every time ask for forgiveness. It's okay many times, but as long as you want to keep the garment of yours clean all times, the heart of yours clean all the times. You can check in Proverbs 28:13, Luke chapter 22 verse 33, Acts chapter 5, 1 to 6, 1 John 1, 9 and 10. 1 John 1, 9 and 10. All these are things talks about repentance back again to God. He didn't say there's condemnation, but repentance. Jesus doesn't condemn, but repent. Number 4, you might say, Pastor, I've already got this right. The first one, okay. Second one is okay. I'm okay with, you know, as far as concerned generational things, I'm okay. Cult, I'm okay. You know, personal sins, I'm okay with God. But many of us till today walk with unresolved forgiveness in our heart, unresolved hurt we still carry. This is very important for us to seek God. When you want to see the face of God, you must ask God and tell, Lord, forgive me. And I forgive those people who have come before me and transgressed against me. Many of us still got hurting in our hearts. And the hurting can go on and on and on, can become a bitter root. When it becomes a bitter root, it's very difficult. I've got actually a message by itself on bitter root. You can see a plant. If you imagine now a tree. A tree has got a trunk, and below that it's got a main root. And that root is the one which brings in the minerals and water for the entire tree to survive. Right? And the fruits will be beautiful and sweet and nice. And the leaves will be green. And the branches all be healthy also. If the nutrition is right. If whatever you have, you look nice, but inside you, you're already a new Christian already, but you're having a bitter root. In other words, you're only getting all bitterness inside, the fruits will be bitter. If it is salty, it's always salty. So you have to remove this bitterness in our heart. If we continue to have bitterness in our life, we cannot operate in the kingdom of God. Because the word of God says in James very clearly, anyone who does not forgive, who does not become enemy with a brother, is a murderer. It was preached in our church. All of us got scared. Retired. The word of God says so. If you still have hatred against your brother or a sister, you're like a murderer. So we have to understand the unresolved forgiveness, unresolved hurts that we have to let go first. You have to ask God to release that forgiveness. And you must release it from your mouth. Lord, I forgive so and so for hurting me. I forgive this person for doing this to me. I forgive this parents of mine for doing this to me. I forgive this teacher of mine who has been very naughty towards me. Forgiveness, even including the political powers. Forgive, Lord. Even our prime minister or the cabinet ministers who have done wrong against the nation, against a tribe, against the things that they do. Forgive, Lord, for the corruption. I forgive them for the corruption they've done. I hate corruption, but I forgive them. I don't want to carry it in my heart. We do not operate because our heart is blocking unresolved things in our heart. You've got a problem, the husband and wife. Many of them do not operate very well because they go different ways because unforgiveness. The thing is resolved once and for all. Don't repeat it again. When somebody asks you forgiveness, don't bring back the memory again of the sins of the past. Don't bring back.
If it is your friend, family member, don't bring it back. Forgiveness means for really letting go. You remember the day. But the Lord says otherwise in Isaiah. He says, I will never remember your past. Amen? Is it heavy for you now? Is your shoulder heavy now? No, it's not. Because in Christ, our shoulders are all light. Our mind is light. Our heart is light. Amen? And we'll pray today. If we have this kind of problems in our hearts today, we'll see whatever problems we have. Whether the first one I talked about, whether you're talking about occultic practices, whether you have involved in it, knowingly, unknowingly. There's a time that I was a born-again Christian, and this friend of mine took me to a place. It's called a place where you can see all the magicians. I had an old Volvo, shaking Volvo, and this Volvo refused to open my door that day because the Lord locked it up. The Lord did not allow me to go to this man. My friend said, no, you must come and see. You are in problem, deep problem. All financial, everything down. This man can help you. I said, no, I don't want to go. Come on, brother. I know you for so many years. Umpty years I know you. I know you. I love you so much. That's why I'm taking you. And the door of my Volvo was locked. I could not open it. And he asked me, he pulled me the way that he went out. I went out. Hesitatingly. But when he asked me a question, the guy asked me a question, would you like to me to do this? And you willing to say yes? I said no. I came here unwillingly. But this man brought. I pray that this man will know from today on Christ. And today he's a born again Christian. Amen? He's a born again Christian in Kuala Kubaru. He knows God now. Not that man any longer. Amen? His drunkenness is no longer there anymore because he knows Christ. Because he was high when he took me to the place. Right? He's gone. All that gone. Who did that? Jesus did that for him. Why? Because he was willing to give his heart. He's willing to forgive the hurts that his wife has brought or the people around him has brought to him. Things change in life. Today, brothers and sisters, if we want to operate in the kingdom of God, we must be operating as what Jesus said. Go, preach the gospel, deliver the people from all the oppression, depression. Luke chapter 4, verse 18. That's the mission statement of Jesus Christ. That is the same mission we have. Go out, release this love of Jesus Christ to everybody. Release them out of oppression, depression, every captivity of the sin. Release them. The word of God can do that. Amen. We are not operating in that. And signs and wonders will follow you, he says. Signs and wonders will follow you. Is it following us? We pray for somebody. Ayo, how come that thing happening? Because we don't operate in the kingdom of God. When you're operating in the kingdom of God, you will operate as the king operates. When you operate in the kingdom of man, you'll operate as the man operates. Hello? Are we right? Praise God. I want you to seek your heart today. I want you to seek your heart today and see, where do I come into this category? Why am I not operating in certain days which God spoke to me and gave me his word? These are promises God gave. If this is my promise, why am I not operating it? At least some of it. Why am I operating even some of it? God, today, speak to me. I want the keyboardists to come up here. Any musicians here? Can you just come up? I want you to spend a little bit of time. Ask God today. There will be a breakthrough today if you ask God to lead you. Alright? To lead you. As I speak to you, I want you to be led. I want you to be led. Thank you, brother. Thank you. Just come. I want you to be led by yourself, your conscience, and Spirit of God. You don't worry about what's happening beside you. Don't worry about who is beside you. Just let yourself, as the music goes, and slowly, and I want you to search your heart. As you search your heart, all of us search our heart, we can find something in our heart. Something. I just want some light music. Just like music. Just like music. Even musicians, every one of you, also same. Sit down and reach out. Sit where you are and reach out. I want you to close your eyes. Come before God. Ask God. Holy Spirit, help me today. I want to operate today in the kingdom of God. Lord Jesus, you are my King. As you are my King, I want to operate in your kingdom. Every word that you have spoken in the gospel is true and true and true. It's a promise of mine. It's a promise that you've given to me. And surely it will come to pass. Every word of yours is truth. And every promise is truth. I believe that, Jesus. Help me, Lord, today. Holy Spirit, guide me through. I want to come out of the man's kingdom and operate in the kingdom of God. As you are my King, I want to be led by you. Your word says, you'll do greater things than I have. We want to claim that today, Lord. So that a kingdom of yours shall prosper. We are your saints, accepted and redeemed by your blood. We come before you, Lord. We ask of you, Lord, if there's any way that, Lord, we have operated in occultic practices. Show us, Lord. Any way that we have beliefs which does not recognize you as my King and my Lord. Any beliefs of occultic. Any beliefs of culture that comes against you. Reveal to me, Lord. Any beliefs of my tribe. Any beliefs that I have, which has been passed on from my ancestors, that I should do this, I should do that. And I open my door for occultics. If there's any belief of medicine man, witchcraft, feng shui masters, or even believe in that the stones of the Hindus, or the stars, astrology, numerology, if I still believe in yoga as a Christian, if I still allow things of other religion that comes as a hindrance to you, Lord, that I can't operate in your kingdom, expose it today. If there's any belief, Lord, that's been passed on by friends of mine, my spouse, relatives, friends, expose it, Lord, today. You are above all cultures. You are above all authorities. You are above all principalities. You are above all powers of darkness. For they hide themselves when your light shines. Show unto us today, Lord. We repent of it today. We cut soul ties with them. They have no authority in our lives. I release them totally today. out of my life, out of my mind, out of my soul and my spirit. My spirit belongs to you, only to you, Lord Jesus. We thank you, Lord, that you heal us, and they shall not become a hindrance to operate in your kingdom, Lord. Lord, if there is any negative generational influences in my life, especially my forefathers, my parents, my grandparents, my great-grandparents, both from my father's side and my mother's side, in the tree of the family tree, Lord, if anyone has brought forth, they bow down to religions which is not of yours, which comes against you. Every spirit of religiosity, every spirit of Lord, every curses that's been spoken, everything that they bow down to, if there's anything, Lord, we have done, they have done, Lord, which is affecting me from operating in your kingdom, Lord, Jesus Christ, release us from them. Lord, we ask of you today that you can touch and cut everything that comes into our lives. In our spiritual life, we cut soul ties with them. All the spirits that comes against your spirit, Lord, from generational, we cut soul ties with them today. We are free from them, Lord, today. Lord, there are many personal sins, Lord. If there is one or two personal sins that the Lord hinders me from coming to you, Lord, I lay down before you, Lord. The flesh is weak, Lord, but you can help me, Lord Jesus, through your Spirit. Holy Spirit, help me. As your word manifests inside me, in my spirit and my soul, then I can shake away from the sin of mine, which stops me from operating in your kingdom, Lord. I submit the sin, Lord, into you, Lord. I lay it down at your feet. Help me, Lord. Help me that I will not fall again in the same sin. Holy Spirit, help me. Strengthen me. I deny the spirit that is behind this sin, Lord. If it is lust of flesh, lust of the eyes, if it is my words, Lord, or my actions, I renounce it from you, Lord. I renounce it today. In the name of Jesus Christ. In your name, Lord, I renounce it. Help me not to repeat these sins again. Lord, I make known, I confess, and I repent of my sins. Totally, Lord. Totally. As I come before you, Lord, help me, Lord. As you wash me with your blood, strengthen me with your spirit, that I can withstand all temptations of the sin. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I come before you, Father. There are many things that hurts me in my heart and my spirit, my memory. There are so many things that has hurt me in my lifetime. My parents, My parents could have hurt me, Lord. The words they've spoken to me. My siblings that have spoken to me, Lord. Every abusive word. Even physical abuse. I forgive them, Lord, today. For you have forgiven my sins. I want to forgive them today totally, Lord. Totally, Lord, I release them. My parents, my siblings. I release them from my condemnation, Lord. I release them from my anger. That I love them. I release all hatred against them. I cut them off, Lord. Hatred of them shall not remain in me any longer. I love them, Lord. As you love me, you also love them. As you bless them with rain and shine, you also bless me, Lord, with rain and shine. I forgive them, Lord. I forgive Father God. Those teachers in my life who've tormented me in words, emotions, even physical, I release them today and I forgive them. Lord, friends of mine who have taken for granted and they have sinned against me, they backbite me, betrayed me. Those whom I've trusted betrayed me, Lord. I want to release them today, my friends. I forgive them, Lord, totally. I want to release, Lord, my children, Lord. The children, Lord, of my house, they've verbally abused. Or mistreated us, Lord. We release them today. Forgive them, Lord. I forgive them totally, Lord, today. Lord, I forgive, Father God, my spouse. I forgive my spouse, Lord. Many times when my spouse bring back the past to me, I forgive him or forgive her, Lord. Forgive my spouse for being abusive sometimes. Forgive my spouse for not trusting sometimes or no confidence. I forgive him, Lord. Forgive them because you forgive me. I want to forgive them, Lord. As you love me, you love my spouse too, Lord. I release them totally, Lord. Lord, forgive me, Lord. If I was part of an abortion, or I have aborted a child, forgive me, Father. Forgive my boyfriend or my girlfriend in the past for hurting me, Lord. Every relationship that was in my life that has hurt me, I forgive the person today, Father. Totally forgive them. I want to operate in your kingdom, Lord. I want to seize it, Lord, violently, and seize it, Father, in my heart today. The kingdom of God is in my heart, and I will be the operator in them, Lord. If there is anyone, Lord, I need to forgive, expose it, Lord, to me now. Speak to me, Lord. That I forgive every one of them today. Lord, I bless the Father God, every one of our God. I release blessings upon their lives. I release blessings upon their finances. I release blessings upon their health. I release blessings upon their family. I release blessings upon their job or business. I release blessings in their home, Lord, that your blessings shall be greater than the blessings you have given me, Lord. Bless them bountifully, Father God, more than you have blessed us. Freely, Father, give them, Lord. I totally come before you. Release everything that is in my heart, every bitterness of Father God today. There is no bitterness. I want to love those who hate me. For your word says, what is great if you love those whom you love? Love thy enemies as thyself. We hear your commandment very clearly, Lord, because you are our King. We love our people, O Father, who have hated us, Lord. We pray for them today. We release blessings upon their lives. We humble before you, Father, and ask for your mercy and your grace. Even children, Lord, as children, sometimes we have, Lord, mistreated our family members, Father, our parents especially. We ask for forgiveness, Lord, and release forgiveness to them, Lord. Every anger that we have, Lord, we release them today. Every anger, Lord, hatred we have against people around us, whom we see daily, Father, we release them today, Father. For you have placed me in a family, in a country, and also, Lord, in a society that you want me to be for this time and this season, Lord. It is you who placed me in the family, that I must be part of this family, that I respect my father and respect my mother. As your word says, honor thy father and thy mother so that you will have long life. We want to honor them, Lord. We want to release them, Lord. We have no longer hatred, Lord. Even we do not know, Lord Jesus, sometimes our parents might not be with me. Lord Jesus, we submit our parents, Lord. Whether they have gone to rest or they have gone away from us, we release them today, Father. We love them, Lord, as you love them. For you decided that I should be in this family, among the siblings whom you have blessed me with. Help me to love them. Help me to love my spouse. For you have seasoned me for this season, that I will be the light and I will be the salt for you in your kingdom. I want to operate in your kingdom, Lord. I desire to operate in your kingdom today. For your word is true. Let your word, Lord, come truth in my heart today. Let your kingdom come today in my heart. There shall be no more barriers, oh Father. No more barriers. Nothing. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for you give me freedom. Lord Jesus, I thank you. You freed me from all this oppression and this hurting in my heart. Thank you, Lord. I will walk upright now with my head up and my chest up, for you have placed me and called me for this season and time. For I am called to be a kingly people, priestly people. I thank you, Father, that I can serve in your kingdom. Lord Jesus, open our eyes, spiritual eyes, our spiritual ears, that we can operate in your kingdom. Mighty Lord and my King, I submit my life to you. In your precious name, Yeshua. Amen.